God's people. My wife and I could not do what we do if it were not for God's people. God's people take care of us, and I know the Lord takes care of us. Don't correct me in that. But He uses His people to take care of us. And when I surrendered to go into evangelism, I didn't have any meetings. And I'm being honest with you, I knew maybe three pastors, and none of them had me in at that time. One has had me in since. And I didn't really know anybody, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know where I was going, but the Lord put me in evangelism. The first year, I preached in 13 different states. By the time the first year was done, I preached in 13 states and two different foreign countries. And so the Lord kind of accelerated us into this thing. And now He's brought us to Western New York. He's opened up doors in Western New York. This is the third church we've preached in just since we've been here. Tomorrow will be the fourth church, Lord willing, that we preach in tomorrow night since we've been in Western New York. So the Lord has just done amazing things, and He's done it through His people. We thank God for God's people. And, you know, as a preacher, sometimes you get discouraged. You see people not responding to the Word of God. Not obedient to the Word of God is discouraging a lot of times. But then you run into the saints of God that are obedient and love the Lord and are faithful. And the sad thing is, because faithful Christians, they stay out of the limelight. They're quiet. They're off in the corner. A lot of times just forgotten about. And the focus becomes the renegades that don't want to come to church half the time and fight the pastor and split the church and fight everybody and sow discord. They become the focus. But we thank God for God's people. And if you're a child of God, we're thankful for you tonight. We're thankful you're here. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to preach. I'm going to read quite a bit of the passage. And I'm going to preach on the parable of the sower. That the Lord will help us and try to be doctrinally correct. But also try to ask the Lord to give us unction to preach what He'd have us to preach tonight in the parable of the sower. Verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him. So that He went in into a ship and sat, and a whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But now, Lord, I would you stand and pray for us. The Lord just help us tonight as we preach. My brother, thank you.
Father, we come to you to thank you for tonight. We thank you that we're able to be here on a Saturday night. Thank you that the words that we preach, Lord, I just pray that you get into our hearts. Holy Ghost, have free movement here, Lord. That we come into this place and leave a different person, leave a better or different than what we came in this place with, Lord. We thank you for the debates, Lord. We just thank you for what they do. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for the faithfulness. Thank you for the church that allows us to be here, Lord. Just pray that you bless this service. Just change hearts and change lives, Lord. We'll give you thanks and praise for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
He spake many things in verse number 3, unto them in parables. He spake these things because they had trouble understanding the things of God. The things concerning the kingdom of heaven were foreign to them. They had no understanding. So Jesus spake in parables that they might understand. He says in verse number 3, he said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. I'm going to read a passage in Isaiah, and you don't have to turn there. I'll just read the passage, but I'll read out the King James Bible. And I promise you it'll be as it is written in the King James Bible. And he said this, he says, give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his brow? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the finches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and their pointed barley and the rye in their place? For as God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. So he gives us an understanding of who the sower is. The sower is this man who has plowed the ground. He's breaking up the clods thereof. He has smoothed the field. He has prepared the soil. And the soil, is, as far as the sower can see, is the best prepared that he has it. It is the appointed time. Of course, that's seasonal time. That's the right time. At the appointed time, he goes out with this seed and he takes the seed. And because the type of seed that it is, he sows it. And when he sows it, he's going to sow it liberally. He's going to sow it where the wind listeth. And he takes that seed, and it's not like a corn drill where he's going to plant every couple of inches. He's going to drill that seed into the ground. But this is a liberal sowing. This is the wheat. This is the barley. This is the finches. And he begins to sow that seed. He begins to just throw that seed wherever it may. His goal, his intent, is it to fall upon good ground. His goal is that he takes the seed and he casts it to a place where the soil has been prepared, the clods have been broken up, the field's been smooth, and the field can receive the seed. Receive water for the seed, and then as that seed is nourished, it'll begin to grow, and something will come out of that seed. And of course, at the end of the harvest time, hopefully the seed will have brought forth some 30, some 40, some even, thankfully, 100-fold. And so that is the goal of the sower. Let me say in this parable, there's nothing wrong with the sower. The sower has taken the seed, and he has cast the seed, he's throwing the seed, he sees the field, and he believes he's prepared the best that he can. And he has now found the appointed time to throw the seed. The seed we know is the word of God. And so here in this parable, the sower, at an appointed time, is going to take his seed and cast it as he may. But there's a couple problems with this, not with the sower, but with the sowee. The sow, because it's sown liberally, because it's sown exhaustively, and it's sown in a broadcast spread, if you will, and some of these seeds fell by the wayside. And the seeds that fell by the wayside, the fowls came and devoured them up. They couldn't find earth to take root. They couldn't find earth to hide in, if you will. They couldn't hide in the furrows of the dirt. And so the fowls of the air came and devoured the seed that was on the wayside. It was on ground that was not turned up. It was on ground that was not plowed up. It was on ground that was clotted, if you will. Secondly, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And so here we see this seed that falls upon a stony place. When the spring rains come, the water comes, it's amazing how a seed can germinate. As a young boy, I remember in science experiments in school, we would take seeds and we'd put them in warm water, maybe we'd put them in a warm napkin, and we'd allow that seed to germinate. And we'd have levels of seeds. We could understand how, even without the soil, that seed can germinate. But the seed can't survive without the root. That seed must have root because it draws its nutrition, we learn later on, from the root. And so the root goes down deep into the soil. It's not just a surface seed, but this root goes into the soil, and the deeper it gets into the soil, it takes hold, and it draws nutrition from the soil. It receives this growth from the nutrition, and now you have a good seed. But seed that falls upon a stony place, it might spring up. It might appear to have life. You might look out at the rock and say, wow, the rock is in full bloom. And the next day when the sun comes out, it dries the greens. It dries that seed that has sprung up and it killed it. It has destroyed it. And so that's the parable of the sower and the stony place. Thirdly, he says this, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Again, it's not the responsibility of the sower. The sower has thrown the seed. He has broadcast the seed. He's broadcast good seed. He has that heirloom seed. He doesn't have that hybrid seed that doesn't reproduce, but he has a good heirloom seed, and he's thrown it out there. But what he didn't know is in that soil, there also are thorns that will spring up. In that same field where good seed falls, there are thorns that spring up and will choke out that seed. That seed cannot bring forth fruit because it's choked out. And then lastly, he says this, other fell into good ground. And it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then he says to us, says to the disciples, and also says to us through the word of God, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came, they asked him this. They said, why do you speak to us in parables? And that's what he says. He answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. He says, you can understand these things, but these that are listening can't understand or comprehend. So Jesus spake in parables. These were stories that they can understand. They can relate to a spiritual truth, and that spiritual truth then could be received, because they would not receive the word of God at that time. They couldn't understand the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus spake in parables. This is the parable that he spake to them, that they might understand. In verse 12, it says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. For whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Again, he says, I speak in parables, because he that hath is going to lose it. It's going to be taken away. And he that hath not, it shall be given, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. And so he explains again, those that have labored, those that have sowed, those that have brought forth fruit, they're going to receive fruit from others that have not. They're going to take the parable of the talent that's buried, and that man hides the talent. What did the Lord do? He took it from him and gave it to him that had 10 talents. And that's the way the Lord works. So he speaks in this parable, and then he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, which saying, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Now, here's the message tonight. The same crowd is hearing the message. There's no difference between the folks on this side and the folks on this side. The message is the same. The word that goes forth is proclaimed, is clear, is understandable, but some can hear with their ears, but they can't receive the message with their ears. Some have spiritual hearing, and they hear with their ears physically, and they have a spiritual hearing which gives them understanding of the word of God. But many today will hear with their ear, but because there's no spiritual understanding, it's as though someone didn't even speak. You can speak until you're blue in the face, but because of the lack of understanding, they will not hear the word of God. He then secondly says, see ye see not. Yes, you can see a man speaking. These people can literally see the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God in the flesh, standing and speaking to them. But yet they could not understand spiritually that this is the Christ. So seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. That's why in the church house you have many that can receive the word of God. The word of God is brought forth, and because of a spiritual hearing, it's not just a physical hearing, but a spiritual hearing, they'll receive the word of God. They can apply it to their heart, apply it to their life, and they can make the changes necessary in their life that God can work through the word of God. They can see the need of their life. through the word of God when it's preached. They see because they understand. But he says, this is a people that even though they hear, they're not really hearing. Even though they see, they're not really seeing. And might I say, friend, we have been duped in this generation. We've been sold a bill of goods by a people and by a laity that has been lethargic and dead spiritually. We have been sold a bill of goods by people that have accepted the profession of Jesus Christ. We've been sold a bill of goods by people that don't name the name of Jesus Christ. Yet this one thing missing from their life is the lack of understanding, according to the book of Job, that they have not departed from iniquity. Amen. What shall they say then? Shall they continue in sin? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The departure from iniquity. If any man name the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. And so that's an understanding we have from the word of God. Hearing, we can grasp this as children of God. We hear with our ears, but we receive with our spiritual ears, the circumcised ear, hears the word of God preached, knows the change is needed, knows our life needs a change from what it has. Our spiritual eyes have been opened, they have been enlightened upon salvation, and so we see spiritually now, we grasp spiritually, and so when the word of God is preached, we can make the spiritual changes necessary to our lives because of seeing and hearing spiritually. When we got saved, we didn't have that understanding. We sat in the church, many of us, myself included, we sat in the church where people seemingly understood. They nodded their heads at everything that was said, and they smiled at everything that was said, and they shook the reverend's hand on the way out the door at everything he said, and complimented him on the tremendous message he brought forth on the way out the door. But yet, spiritually, they still had no understanding of what was said. They're looking at the physical. The physical application, I guess, of the delivery of the message rather than the message itself. They'll say, you know, Pastor, that was a tremendous oratory challenge that you gave us today. And what they're really saying is your tie was straight and your hair looked nice and you had shaved well and your shirt was nicely pressed and you gave a very clean cut observation to us that we can take home and we can just maybe rub some salve in our wounds and it'll hold us over until next Sunday morning if we come. That is the average response of people today. Why? Because they can hear with their ears. But because their spiritual ear has not been circumcised, it's uncircumcised, they can't receive the word of God. Their eyes are seeing, they're seeing the lives of people, they're seeing the working of God, they're seeing what goes on in the church house, but they spiritually can't grasp and understand the word of God. And he says this is one thing, it's a lack of understanding. They do not understand the Bible. Mm-hmm. Their eyes are closed spiritually to the word of God. It's not the fault of the sower. The sower sows the good seed. He sows the pure seed. He's prepared the field. He's busted the claws. When the moment is ripe, he knows this is the hour for the seed. This is the time for the seed. And he begins to sow the seed liberally that men might receive the seed of the word of God. But he can't see the rocks under the soil. And he can't see the thorns under the soil. And so as he sows, he's sowing to a people that cannot receive the word of God. The field may look prepared. Yeah. And a lot of people have learned how to put on the outward appearance of church. Man. They have learned how to put on the physical apparition of church. They can appear spiritual. I remember as a lost man, and one of the greatest compliments somebody paid me, I was working at an office supply store part-time while I was in the military. And a lady came up to me one day, and just to give you a little background understanding, she had, you know, 22 bangles on this arm and 22 bangles on this arm. And she had long flowing silk robes, and she had a silk hanky tied around her head. And, you know, she just had the look of probably someone that either a fortune teller, maybe a gypsy. And she approached me, and she stopped just shy of me, and she held her hands up. She said, I perceive that you are a spiritual man. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, I knew that when I came in the store. And this is what she said. She said, I was drawn to you and that you were a spiritual man. I was lost, but I was spiritual. I didn't understand the Bible, but I was spiritual. I didn't know Jesus Christ, but I was spiritual. What was that spirituality? It was whatever convey any form of spirituality that I wanted to bring, because nobody really knew how unspiritual I was. And so, you know, there was times I maybe give people a little piece of money, and never secretly, never, always letting my left and right hand and everybody around me know that I gave the money, because that was my level of spirituality. There was times, and forgive me for being so crude about myself, but I don't know your story, so I don't tell your stories from the pulpit. But there was times I'd open up the Bible, and I remember a lady had asked me one time at work, and she was in need of spiritual guidance, and she said, "Do you believe in the Bible?" I said, "I do." She goes, "Well, could you find me a verse?" And I did this kind of, I'm just going to open the Bible, whatever it opens, and I opened up somewhere in Isaiah, and I read this deeply fulfilling verse, and I mean, it just, the countenance changed, and oh, how it spake to her heart, and how it helped me. Again, I'm a spiritual giant in the land of peons. I'm a spiritual giant in the land of Davids, because I have put on my spiritual garment, and I have put on my spirituality, and I was lost. It wasn't until I got saved that I realized how unspiritual I really was. And that's the average religionist today. They have associated themselves, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Southern Baptist, a Western Baptist, a Northern Baptist, an Independent Baptist, a Whiny Baptist, a Free Meal Baptist. It doesn't matter what we are. You know, every sect of the Baptist today has been infiltrated with a people that are lost. They're infiltrated with people that have a spirituality about them, but yet they do not understand the Word of God. They don't understand the precepts. They don't understand the law. They don't understand the principles behind the Word of God. They just have the bare bones, if you will, understanding of the Bible. I always use this as an illustration. It's just something I like to use. But it's like the people that come up to you and they say, "Well, you know what the Bible says about judging, don't you?" And, you know, and of course they go, "Thou shalt not judge." And you know, they quote, you know, imaginary scriptures, and you know, and that's just one of many examples. But they have imaginary scriptures, and a man just today, as a matter of fact, made a statement to me, and he says, "Well, you know what the Bible says about giving?" And I said, I think to myself, I'm like, "No, I don't." No, that's why I just said, I said, "No, sir, what does the Bible say about giving?" You know, as if I hadn't read it once or twice. I said, "What does the Bible say about giving?" He says, "Well, if you will give, God will return it to you again." And I thought, well, thank you for that bit of insight. You know, God will return it to me again if I give. Now, there's no caveat on who we're giving to. If I give to Oprah, I mean, is that God going to get that money back to me? You know, there's no understanding of why do we give? What's the purpose of giving? Are we giving to get back again? If that was the case, I would challenge God. I would give away everything I had, throw it in the face of God, and challenge Him to give it back to me again, and fourfold or tenfold. Right. I mean, we all would have done that. We would have sold our lands and our houses. We would have thrown the money in the face of God and said, "Okay, you said you'd give back to me. Now, Lord, I want it back with blessings and with interest, and you give it back to me." But God does not pray that way. It's just a lack of understanding. So now we have a generation of Americans raised in religion, raised under false so-called Bibles, raised under false doctrine, and taught by a clergy that doesn't understand the Bible. Yeah. And so now we have... In the field, the field may look plowed, it may look as though it is available for seed, it may look like there's going to be a great and a mighty harvest at the end of the year, but because the seed is going to the soil, and the sower doesn't always know what's in the soil, and because of that, you just throw the seed out there, you trust God for it, but many are lacking understanding. The problem that this scripture, that we see in this scripture, is simply this: their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, they're not going to hear, and their eyes they have closed. They have willfully closed their eyes. It's not an accident. They have willfully closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and the Bible says this, and understand with their heart. At any time God shows them the Word of God, reveals Himself to them, but they close their eyes so they don't have to see Him. They stop up their ears so they don't have to hear. And all that is done because they might understand with their heart. And so they resist the Word of God. A lot of people take preaching. They'll sit under preaching, but they won't receive it. They'll listen to the preacher. They'll smile. And again, oh, Reverend, marvelous message. I may, if you just forgive me, I'm not boasting this, but please forgive me even for saying, I've had more than two or three people since I've been an evangelist tell me, and two of them made the exact same statement, the other one just said a name, but two of them said this, you remind me of a young Billy Graham. That's what they told me. Nice. Another one just said, you remind me of Billy Graham. And I wasn't sure if I should get puffed up or not. I wasn't sure how to take that, to be honest with you. You remind me of Billy, and I'm like, what is it? I mean, the smoothness, the polish, the rock band. What's reminding you of Billy Graham? Yeah. The 3,000 voice choir, the stadium full of people.
Yeah.
What does it remind you of Billy Graham? Lack of understanding. I'm not mocking. If that was you, I don't think it was him. If it was you, I'm sorry. But it's just a lack of understanding. It's that we're not, I mean, if Billy Graham and Tim McVeigh preach the same message and they have the same ideals and they have the same doctrine and they're receiving the Word of God and they're absorbing the Word of God and they're understanding the Word of God, then glory to God, hallelujah. But I rest assured, I promise you this, Billy Graham and I are not preaching the same thing.
No, sir.
So what are they receiving? They're receiving the same thing from the preacher that they're receiving from the televangelist. They're receiving the same thing from the preacher that they are from Joyce Meyer. It's no different. They glean the good things. Lady paid us a compliment last week. She told my wife and I, she said, that was wonderful. I have never heard anybody proclaim the Word of God and expound that. She just went, I mean, just gushing. And then in the car on the way home, she said, I'm being sarcastic. And I said, well, I feel like Joel Osteen. And I threw this big cheesy smile, you know, kind of. And she says, I love Joel Osteen. You know, and I'm not trying to be ugly about it, but it just reminded me again that she's receiving from me the same thing she's receiving from Joel Osteen. I promise you this. If you like Joel Osteen, that's fine. You can talk to me about it. But I'm not preaching the same message Joel Osteen's preaching. She said this, I love Joyce Meyer. I rest assured I'm not preaching the same message Joyce Meyer is preaching.
That's right, brother. That's right.
The message we preach is not the message of the televangelists. The message we preach is not the message of popular TV preachers. The message we preach is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of prosperity. It's not the gospel of money. It's not the gospel of gain. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message we preach.
Amen.
We'll absorb everything else. And they'll miss the message. I don't think it's my fault. I don't. People remember the illustrations, especially the ones where they laugh or where they cry. And they'll remember them to the day they die. And they won't remember the message. The young people's meeting we have in Black Creek every year, young people, there's been things said in that meeting that some young people, some of the good, some of the bad, they remember it now 3 and 4 years later. They remember something that was said, but they shrugged off the conviction. They shrugged off God speaking to their heart. They shrugged off the voice of God. They stopped up their ears again from hearing what God has to say. They run back to their profession. They run back to that little package they packaged up when they were 8 years old, when they made the profession of faith, and they run back to that despite the fact that God's dealing with them, despite the fact that God's speaking to them, and it's what God says about us, not what we say about us, that's going to stand through. They run back to the profession they made. They say, well, I know God was speaking to me, but I'm not going to hear it because I have my profession. I know God's dealing with me. It's obvious God's dealing, but I'm not going to watch anymore. I don't want to see anymore because I'm going to run back to a time when I know when I call on God to save me. That's where we're at today. That's this generation. Not what they are, but what they did. Not where they are, but what took place 15, 20 years ago or longer. Not what is revealed by the fruit in their life. He said this when he had understanding. He said there's going to be fruit in their life. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 40, 20, 30. I was off, said 30. I knew I'd find if I just kept going through 90, 87, 5 in there. But there is going to be fruit. So why is it that we let people off the hook today who are not bearing fruit? Their ears have stopped up. Their eyes they have covered. I've sat in churches, and this is not a joke, this is no exaggeration. with people literally with their fingers crammed in their ears during the preaching. I sat in churches where people would sit and they could not look at the preacher for the entire service. They stared at the floor the entire service. Some I plead with them because of this passage. Look up here at the preacher. Listen to the preacher. Hear the preacher. They won't even look up. They won't unstop their ears. Because what they have is what they'll die with. And they don't want anything else to change. They don't want anything else to upset the apple cart. And there's a host of reasons why people won't make the change. The host of reasons involving the pressures of this world, the pressures of the flesh, the pressure of the devil. I believe all three are exhibited in this parable. If you look with me in verse number 18, he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any man heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not," there's no understanding. It's just black words on a white page. They don't understand and have an idea at all what it's saying. He says, "Then cometh that wicked one." And when the wicked one comes, and he catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receiveth the seed by the wayside. It's sown in the heart. So where is the field? And you can go tell all the Bible college professors and all the big name fundamental preachers that preach that the world is the field, and that's fine, or the church rather is the field. But let me say this, the heart is the field. The sower has prepared the heart to receive the seed. Preaching is not to a mental, what I'm looking for, it's not a mental ascension. Preaching is not to the intellect, but preaching is to the heart. Men guard their hearts against anything piercing in. The wickedness and the vileness of man's heart. Nobody's going to tell me anything. So when the sower has sown, he looks and he sees what he thinks is a good field. The field is dressed right. The field is appeared right. The field is pious. The field gives long, swelling testimonies during testimony time. And I say that with this, a testimony is something that you tell people about Jesus. A testimony is when you get up and talk about yourself. Just throwing that out there. Next testimony service, make sure you remember that. And they get up a testimony time, and they convince you how good they are. And they convince you how much they love Jesus. And they'll convince the pastor. And they'll convince the congregation. Oh, how we love Jesus. But yet in their hearts, they won't let the seed of the Word of God get in their hearts because they won't let the preacher plow up their heart. He won't let it make the field fertile of the heart. So now you have a field. Appears like it's plowed, but underneath there's nothing that can take root. So the sower sows, and that seed goes off on the wayside. This is he that isn't even really in the field. He's not allowing his heart to be plowed. The wicked one comes, the devil comes, snatches that seed out of the heart. Literally takes the word of God out of the heart of a man in which it was intended for. People say, well, the word of God will not return void to him. It's not going to return void. The devil took it away. Snatched it out of the heart. Secondly, he says, but he that received the seed in the stony place is the same as he that heareth the word with not of joy receiveth it. Again, and I'm not mocking. I had time not to mock, I promise, but oh, Reverend, that was wonderful. Oh, that was just tremendous, Reverend. Oh, Pastor, what a wonderful, glorious message. They received it with joy, with gladness, but there was no root. It was stony. The Bible says this, because of that, he hath not rooted himself, but endureth for a while, for a tribulation and persecution arises. Because of the word, by and by, he is offended. There's the flesh. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace to have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So here's a man that's now offended by the word of God. This is a man that received the word of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, this church. Oh, this pastor. Oh, you people. Oh, the joy. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is. As soon as persecution comes, as soon as tribulation comes, rise up, then we'll see this sprung up. Oh, thousands of them. Thousands of them I've seen in church. Spring up. I mean, it's a rapid spring up usually. It's that seed that is laid on the rock. The sun comes out. The rain hits it. Boom. It springs up. The next sun comes out. There's no rain. It kills it dead. They spring up quick. They die quick. Why? Because a little tribulation, that's all it took to put them out. A little bit of trouble is all it took to put them out. Why? Because of their flesh. Their flesh has failed. They've never received the word of God into a good heart. They've not been properly prepared. Thirdly, he says this. In verse 22, he also received seed among the thorns as he that heareth the word. In the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Again, here's a seed that sprang up. Here's a seed that had a little bit of a root. Here's a seed that began to grow. But all it took was the world to choke him out. Three great enemies of the child of God, but also the three great enemies of every sinner. The devil, himself, and the world. You say, was the soil prepared right? In this case, it was. It was plowed. The clods were broken up. The field was ready to receive the seed, but those thorns sprang up and choked out the word of God. Choked out that little tender plant. Choked it out. It's no more. There's no more fruit. Why? Because the cares of this world. The fact that they love everything more than they love the Lord. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not real merciful when it comes to down to the house of God. I probably should be more merciful, but I'm not a pastor. Maybe the Lord help me with that. Maybe it would be worse if I were a pastor. I don't have a lot of mercy for people that can't show up in church. Whenever the Lord is trying to help them. It doesn't matter if it's a special meeting. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday school. It doesn't matter if it's a morning service, a Wednesday service, an afternoon service. If it doesn't matter if in the middle of the week somebody says, hey, let's meet on Friday morning at 6 o'clock. Let's meet down at the church house. I'll rub some coffee in my eyes and I'll crawl in the back door like everybody else. Just in case there's a chance that God wants to deal with my heart. And that assembly comes together. And all the people who choked out by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness. And he said this, the deceitfulness of riches choked the world. The deceitfulness of wealth choked the world. And so the word is in there. The word is the good seeds in the ground. There's a plant that springs up. But the deceitfulness of riches. Let me just go ahead and say this. It still just bothers me. I don't care how many people are doing it. Oh, Pastor, I can't be there. I have to work. You know, and there's times you have to work. I know that. But there's times you could change your schedule. Mm-hmm. And you watch people who can't even change. They can change their schedule for all the worldly things. They can change their schedule for rush for days. They can change their schedule for the Bills games. They can change their schedule to go ice skating. They can change their schedule to go on vacation. But they can't change their schedule to come to revival. Mm-hmm. Could it be the deceitfulness of riches?
Right.
Choking that word. Then he says this. There's one more place where the seed has fallen. And that's in the good ground. And this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. I understand the preaching. I understand the word of God.
Amen.
God has given me understanding. The Bible's opened up. The man of God preaches. I can say, I understand this. My eyes are no longer dim. My ears are no longer dull. My heart is no longer hard. Why? Because the Lord has softened my heart. He's given me not a stony heart. He's given me that new heart to receive the word of God. He's given me eyes to see. I once was blind, but now I see, the songwriter said. What is that scene? What is that sight? Is it Christ he sees? Is Christ the written word that he sees? lost. I think it took me either 8 or 9 years to get to Isaiah, and that's not an exaggeration. It might have been 7 years to get to Isaiah. That's a long time to read to get to Isaiah. I usually read it, I'm just being honest, when the pages were spinning. I'd be laying in bed going, boy, I need God tonight. I need the God in the Bible tonight. There was no understanding. Nothing pierced through my heart. Nothing pierced through the coldness and the deadness. My eyes weren't open to see. My ears weren't open to hear. My heart wasn't open to receive. But his word did not return void. April 20th, 1997, got gloriously born again by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. And my life changed.
Amen.
And my eyes were open. My ears all of a sudden could hear. My eyes could see. I could see Christ in the pages of the Word of God. And you know, I've never seen him in person. I've seen him by faith. And the one thing I don't know is what he looks like. But I know who he is. And I know a whole lot more about him than I used to know. I can see Christ. I can hear Christ. Why? Because I've received Christ. My heart's been opened. The cares of this life can still creep in. The deceitfulness of riches can still snare my heart. But it can't choke out the seed that's there. The world can press in on me. The world can afflict me. The world can oppress me. The devil can come and try to destroy me. But the one he cannot take that word that's been planted in my heart. He can't take it. I don't believe it. Even if he can't come talk to me, I don't see how he could take it. Why? Because the seed's been planted and has grown. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters.
Amen.
Fruit in his season. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Is that everything I do? I'll be rich? No. But he's talking about spiritually, you'll bring forth fruit. Some 100. Some 60. Let me read this, make sure. Some 30. They will bring forth fruit. You will bring forth fruit when you have true understanding. The lack of understanding today is because a lack, and honestly, of a misunderstanding of this one parable. How can people be saved if they can't see? How can we be saved if they cannot hear? How can we be saved if they do not understand? But even more so, how can saved folk not bring forth fruit? He said, by the fruit, by the fruits, you shall know.
Amen.
That is the proof of salvation. We know each other by the fruit that is born. If you have understanding, you will bring forth fruit. And that fruit will remain. It's a remaining fruit. It's a fruit that he gives. That is salvation. This is the parable of the sower. I don't think I need to add anything else to it or say anything else. We mostly just read the Word of God, trying to expound mildly on the Word of God. But let me say this in closing. There's been men that have preached all over this nation that the only person here that doesn't have eternal life is he, the devil, took the seed away. But the Bible says here, this is still he that lacketh understanding. But he that understandeth, which also beareth fruit. That is he that has eternal life. How can you be saved and not understand?
Amen.
How could you know Christ and not understand? But not only that, how could you know him and not bring forth fruit?
That's right.
The change is not outward in.
Yep.
The outward change can never change the inside. Mm-hmm. But the change starts on the inside. It works its way out.
Right.
Amen.
And that's the fruit. That's part of the fruit. Is the change. It's the parable of the sower. But I'll turn the service back over to you, whatever you see fit to do. But I'm finished tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Pastor Ashton,
certainly. Father, I want to thank you again for what we've heard. I pray that you help us to think on these things, meditate upon them. But again, my God, I call upon you to look upon this church. I believe that over the many years since this church was built, you've been well pleased with things that have happened here, been preached here, the songs of Zion that have been sung here. And my God, I pray that you be well pleased with these men and women who yearn to continue those things here. And I pray that you would work and bring the man of God for this pulpit that can work with the men here and the ladies here, that the seed of the Word of God can be sown, there could be understanding go forth from this church. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We're dismissed for the night. I thank you all for being here. Don't forget to ask about the fish on the phone. I want to see this picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. She caught the big fish.
She caught the big fish.
Yeah.
About a year ago, she got it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you men need shirts or your wives.